got to hear me above the rooks here. One little nest up there and another little nest over there. So maybe they are rejoicing because it's Pentecost Sunday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, the day that we remember and receive the gift of your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be ready and willing to receive whatever you long to share with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. In scientific terms, energy sits at the heart of all physical processes. It's what enables physical systems to move, interact, and be transformed. It takes many forms. There's kinetic energy in any moving object, chemical energy locked into fuels and food, electrical energy carried by charges, and radiant energy that travels as light. The law of the conservation of energy shows that energy cannot be created or destroyed, only transformed. When we cook a meal, chemical energy becomes heat. When a plant grows, energy from sunlight is stored in matter. From stars fusing atoms to batteries powering phones, energy links the smallest particles to the largest structures in the universe. How are your energy levels? You might feel full of beans today, or you might have had to get out of bed earlier than usual, leaving you feeling tired. We're often low on energy for a whole host of reasons, but no matter the state of our underlying energy levels, Pentecost brings with it movement and energy. The Spirit did not drift into that room where the disciples were gathered in a post-traumatic fog, but rushed in with elemental force, wind, and fire. This Sunday, the Feast of Pentecost, is sometimes known as the birthday of the church. A birthday celebrates a life and is a day to communicate love and appreciation. When a birthday is missed or forgotten, it can cause pain. I know when it's the date of my parents' birthdays, I always remember them with love and the joy they both brought into my life. Yes, I'm sad they're gone, but I rejoice that they're in heaven with Jesus. All those years ago, the disciples had no idea that they were part of a birthday. They were gathered together in grief and fear after some very confusing weeks. They had witnessed the death of Jesus and something of his resurrection. The disciples had seen their friend and teacher tortured and killed. And since the crucifixion, they have been locked away together in fear of their lives. There's not much energy or dynamism in this situation. But now, Jesus stands among them, speaking of peace, telling them that he is sending them out. They cannot stay behind locked doors anymore. Then he breathes on them, imparting to them the energy of the Holy Spirit. Like God, the Creator, breathing life into this formed man, Jesus is giving his disciples their new life, breathing into them the power and energy that enables them to go out into the world. At the end of Luke's gospel, we are told that they shared bread and wine with the risen Lord and felt their hearts burn within them as they recognized him. The beginning of Acts connects with all that had happened in the gospel, as these two texts are written by the same author. The disciples are still trying to piece things together and work out how to live, and they're waiting for God's help. Now, Pentecost coincides with the Jewish Feast of Shavuot, one of the pilgrim festivals, their harvest festival, when the Jewish men would gather in Jerusalem, bringing the first fruits of the land as an offering to the Lord. The festival celebrates the giving of the law as well as the gathering of the harvest. So the disciples were being faithful to their religious tradition, even though they may not have been in a mood to celebrate. Into It is into that faithful gathering that the Holy Spirit comes, breathing life and power into the tired, grieving and confused hearts of the disciples, and bringing to birth the community that we have come to call the church. At the heart of it all is the miracle of communication, not just with one another, but with everyone in Jerusalem. That tells us that at the heart of the church is a spontaneous communication of love and life in ways that people could understand. This is the first thing that the Holy Spirit empowered people to do. And even in their weakness and confusion, these early disciples were trusted and empowered to communicate this love. Notice how the arrival of the Holy Spirit affects a number of the disciples' senses. Touch them. Sight, in verse 3. Hearing. He is certainly making his presence known, isn't he? Of vital importance is the comment in verse 3. The Spirit came to rest on each of them. Nobody is left out when God gives his precious gift to the church. We know that this occasion, the disciples' words are supernaturally translated into other languages. Now, Luke is keen to press the point home by listing all the countries where these Jews have come from. The Holy Spirit is making sure that the message of the gospel will be carried far and wide as quickly as possible. Notice the difference the Spirit makes to Peter, an unschooled, rough and ready fisherman, now speaks with great eloquence, understanding and wisdom. The Holy Spirit has been given to us so that we may understand what God is saying to us through the scriptures. It is often tempting to operate from our own resources rather than in the power of the Holy Spirit. But God is absolutely clear. He has given us the Spirit in order that we might share the gospel and demonstrate God's sovereignty over all things. I think we need to look closely at the disciples' response to the coming of the Spirit. Nowhere does Luke say that they were startled by this event. Neither did they spend time getting carried away by the supernatural. They focused on getting the message of Jesus to the crowds. It's hard for us to get the balance. Some of us are nervous or disbelieving of the power of the Holy Spirit which can give us. Others may get caught up seeking the signs rather than the God behind them. Today, we need to ask God to reveal the person of his Spirit to us in more depth. We don't know the literal meaning of the words that these disciples spoke to the people of many nations who had gathered in Jerusalem, but we know that those people understood. And even though some resisted the words and sneered at the disciples, the wave of love and life that spread through Jerusalem was unstoppable. The church had been born. I sometimes imagine the three persons of the Trinity holding hands in a triangle, sort of like that, I suppose, with me safe and secure in the middle. They are in harmonious unity. Jesus has made a way for us to be active players in the working out of the God's head plans for the world. Think about the different ways in which the New Testament refers to the Spirit. Teacher, comforter, helper, giver of power. Later today or during the week, reflect on how he is working in you and you. And you? Is there any way that we can be more open to him as a church and as an individual? My friends, the Spirit is not some shadowy presence sent to haunt you or someone to be scared of. Neither is he an energy source to be switched on and off when we feel like it. But he is someone who wants to be our closest friend and ally. He is awesomely practical and has gifts that he wants to give us to build up the churches and to testify to the power of God and the truth of the gospel. What can we learn from this so many generations later? Perhaps, among other things, we can take it to heart that we do not need to understand everything before we speak of the love of God. The Spirit will empower us. The Spirit is sent by the Father in Jesus' name to dwell within us. With the Spirit working inside us, we will be drawn closer to Jesus, to his heart and mind, and reminded of all that he said. Just as we see Peter transformed by the Spirit, we too will be able to do great things. In other words, like Jesus, if the Spirit is within us, it will point us towards God's will and accomplish God's work in the world. The gift of the Spirit enables the church to look beyond the church. Left to our own devices, we might prefer, like those first disciples, to lock ourselves away or remain as a community of believers. But Jesus calls us to share the good news of the kingdom. And for this, we need God's Spirit to enable us, to energize us, giving us the motivation and the courage to speak. We do not pray for the Holy Spirit simply to have a warm glow of God in our lives. We pray for the energy of God so that we might go out, speak up, and draw others to Christ. Our challenge on Pentecost Sunday, therefore, is to discern the holy presence of the Spirit within us, to pray with it and allow it to lead us forward and show us Jesus, so that we can model our lives on his example. Was Jesus compassionate? Did he stand up for justice? Did he have a bias towards those who are poor in society? What about those on the margins? We know he did. Perhaps simply asking the question, what would Jesus do in this situation? It is a bit superficial, but the intention is deeply spiritual, and praying with the Spirit can show us the answer. Almost all of us are surrounded by people who don't know Jesus. Not all of us feel we can easily talk about him with relative strangers, but we can all pray and ask God for opportunities to show his love in practical ways and to help us to build genuine friendships with non-Christians. If they come to trust us, they will be most likely to trust our Lord and Saviour, who we've mentioned and who, they'll discover over time, is the reason for our loving character and our caring actions. So think, what do you want Jesus to do for you today? Do you want him to fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit? Do you want to stay as you are? Would you like to be encouraged? Do you want to go out and do things and say things without feeling afraid? Just ask. Just ask, and he'll do it. Amen.